our planned economic collapse.
My friends, I have dealt at some length with the Fort Knox gold scandal for a very good reason. For one thing, it illustrates how the American people are being swindled daily by the dynasty's major news media. But that is not why I have discussed it so fully. It is also a crime, a theft so immense, so mind-boggling, that any other great robbery you can name shrinks into invisibility by comparison. But even that is not the measure of its importance. The true significance of the Fort Knox gold scandal is its pivotal role as part of the dynasty's grand design to complete their takeover of the United States of America by bringing about an economic catastrophe and turning the resulting political upheaval to their own ends. If you are a typical American citizen, you probably couldn't care less about gold bullion hidden away in government vaults, monetary affairs, and the like. To you, quite logically, money is just a medium of exchange. The gold in Fort Knox is supposed to back up our money, and that's about all there is to it. Such a monetary concept is natural, logical, and healthy. But unfortunately, that is not the way it works. The manipulation of money and its relationship to gold is a source of incredible economic and therefore political power. Centuries ago, a powerful international banker summed it all up in a famous dictum to the effect, "Give me the right to issue a nation's currency, and I care not who writes the laws." The context of his statement was not that he would thus be content with his wealth, but rather that the writers of the laws would find it necessary to do his bidding. So well did our founding fathers recognize the dangers from this source that they wrote strong provisions into our Constitution to prevent such abuses. But the dynasty that began developing a century ago in America was quick to recognize the vast power they could wield if they could cause these and related constitutional safeguards to be ignored. In my message of October 1974, I reviewed for you the emergence of the dynasty and their achievement of several major objectives that made 1913 a major turning point in our history. One of these was their successful creation in 1913 of the very thing Jefferson had warned against, their unconstitutional private central banking system known as the Federal Reserve System. In the wake of the crash of 1929, and the Great Depression that followed, Congressman Lewis McFadden, chairman of the House Banking and Currency Committee, waged a courageous campaign against the Federal Reserve that ended abruptly with his death by poisoning. Referring to the Depression, he declared, "It was not accidental. It was a carefully contrived occurrence." And he added that those who had brought it about, using the Federal Reserve and other means, sought to bring about a condition of despair here so that they might emerge as the rulers of us all. Few people are aware of it today, but there was a great deal of evidence to back up Congressman McFadden's charges that the crash and depression were deliberate. But as it turned out, the Great Depression, as bad as it was not quite severe enough to induce Americans to throw away our system of government, even though our republic was reduced to a very precarious condition. The American people had proven to be tougher than the dynasty expected. Their first attempt to take our country away from us had failed. And so the dynasty began a long-range plan for a second attempt at a complete takeover of America. And this time, they would leave nothing to chance. First, capitalizing on the economic woes they had created, they set in motion a wide range of social legislation to vastly increase the power of the federal government, which they dominated increasingly. They began the planning of World War II for two purposes. One was to increase the dynasty's power worldwide at the expense of certain troublesome oil rivals overseas. The other was to further vastly expand the domestic power of the federal government, dominated by the dynasty, through a wide range of wartime emergency measures which would not be undone after the war. Withholding of income taxes from your paycheck is but one example of this. Their plans for World War II worked out very well for the dynasty. The federal government emerged from the war greatly enlarged and with far broader domestic powers, and with the dynasty firmly in charge. Overseas, the dynasty's crude oil competition from Great Britain had been broken, and the sun began to set on the British Empire. America was number one, and the dynasty was number one in America. Their plan continued. They would now gradually sap America's economic strength through massive foreign aid programs and no-win wars, siphoning off America's wealth into the dynasty's coffers overseas. By the same means, they would gradually bring about internal dissension and loss of confidence among the American people. They would in every way cause our government to increasingly ignore our constitutional safeguards and then blame our resulting problems on the Constitution itself. They would prepare a new Constitution to suit their own purposes and have it ready. They would condition us for several years ahead of time to accept various things that would seem to be described in the new Constitution. They would quietly promote for years the idea that our Constitution had become obsolete. Then at last, when all was in readiness, they would once again put us through the ringer of economic depression to trigger the political changes they sought. This time, we would build a society that was already losing its way before the Depression. And this time, they would not be as gentle about it as they had been with their Depression of the 1930s. The new Depression would come with all the trimmings, runaway inflation, unemployment rising far beyond anything experienced in the 1930s, shortages, and general chaos. And that, my friends, is where we are now. Their plan is now in its final stages. Their manipulated depression has now begun. We are now being fed into the dynasty's economic ringer, to be squeezed unmercifully. They have deliberately wrought worldwide monetary instability through a series of acts described in my message of October 1974. And, as described in that message, the theft of America's gold by the dynasty is tied directly to the manipulations which are destroying our dollar and fueling our inflation. Thus, the Fort Knox gold scandal is not only about a stupendous crime, it is an economic Pearl Harbor by which the dynasty has declared war on the American people. Their objective in this war is our unconditional surrender by our acceptance of their dictatorial new constitution.
Part 4. The Emerging Dictatorship.
My friends, since my message of October 1974, the dynasty's overall plan has not changed at all. But there have been some adjustments in their tactics and their timing, and others can be expected from time to time. The key revision of their timing came on December 16, 1974, on the island of Martinique, where there was a meeting between Presidents Ford and Giscard d'Estaing of France. The head of the dynasty, whose presence at the meeting was not generally publicized, agreed to allow France to revalue its gold holdings at the current market price every 6 months, but on one condition: no government shall officially repeg the gold price for an interim period of 2 years, that is, till the end of 1976. In other words, the dynasty is now allowing itself that long, instead of a year and a half, to push gold prices above $2,000 per ounce, and then peg it officially at an international monetary conference at $2,000 per ounce. Thus, as predicted in my October 1974 message, Europe is now moving rapidly back onto a gold standard. In January, France revalued its gold holdings at $170 an ounce and will apparently support gold at that price. This means that there is now a floor of $170 under gold prices. French currency is again on what amounts to a modified gold standard, and the American dollar has been devalued indirectly. Official devaluation of the dollar for the third time can be expected soon. As predicted in my message October 1974, scattered failures of major banks have occurred, chipping away at public confidence. There will be more such occurrences. The gold zoom signal given in my October 1974 message was fulfilled in November 1974. Gold prices promptly started up rapidly, but the dynasty aborted that takeoff, as I have discussed in connection with the January 6th gold sale. The dynasty has been trying both to complete their silver corner and to extract the gold from the International Monetary Fund, and have encountered more resistance than expected in both areas. They have also been trying desperately to divert attention away from the Fort Knox gold scandal. They cannot wait indefinitely, however, because their political objectives require gold prices and American inflation to be sky high by Election Day 1976. At this moment, March 1st, 1975, gold is once again over $180 an ounce. And if it stays that way for several weeks, it will signal a release of the brakes by the dynasty. After that, gold will streak for the sky, and the dollar will dive for the basement. The worldwide starvation, publicized by the Rome Conference in 1974, is a prelude to starvation in America. The dynasty can pull the plug at any time now, so be prepared. Supermarkets everywhere can be turned into wastelands within a matter of days. However, the major crunch nationwide is now planned for the fall of 1975. Nelson Rockefeller was confirmed as vice president in December 1974 and plans to be president by June 1975. Presumably, Gerald Ford will resign with a plausible explanation, such as his failure to turn the economy around. The autumn of 1975 will be a turbulent period. Major food shortages, unprecedented inflation, epidemic bankruptcies, soaring interest rates, and mushrooming unemployment. President Rockefeller, moving decisively and with great perception, will galvanize the nation by proposing that a new constitution be written to solve our problems. Quickly, a commission will be formed by President Rockefeller to start drafting a new constitution. Your suggestions and contributions will be solicited, and it will be the task of the Constitutional Commission to sort it all out into the best document possible. Soon, progress on the new Constitution will be a frequent item in the news, as respected scholars and famous public officials offer their views and suggestions. Sometime during the fall of 1975, look for the following crash signal, which is the counterpart of the gold zoom signal I told you about in my message October 1974. Right now, the stock market is being held up artificially by the dynasty to save its demise for the proper moment. But when government figures are made public that show general unemployment in the range of 20 to 25%, the stock market crash will be imminent. These figures will indicate that the dynasty is ready to cut the cable on the stock market elevator and let it start its sickening plunge into the basement. 1976 will be a year of unmitigated economic disaster in the United States, with developments on the new Constitution as the only dependable bright spot in the news served up by the dynasty's media. President Rockefeller will, of course, be seen doing all in his power to contribute to this critical effort to save our democracy. In my message of October, I mentioned that red-back currency would be coming on the scene about now, and these have now been printed, and more are being printed in $1, $5, $10, and $20 denominations, as well as in paper change denominations of $1, $5, $10, and 25 cents. It has been decided, however, not to issue them yet, but instead to wait for the peak of the inflation. They will then be introduced with a psychologically crushing reverse split, whereby you will exchange perhaps 100 green dollars for one red dollar. Because of this reverse split scheme, my suggestion contained in my message of October 1974 that you save the copper-clad coins now in circulation loses some of its value. Prior to the green for red exchange, they will be good to have and quite possibly growing scarcer. But after the red backs appear, coins probably will no longer be officially acceptable as a medium of exchange. The exact timing of the introduction of the Redbacks will depend on the dynasty's judgment of the maximum advantage it will provide them. It may well be the last straw dropped on the backs of the American people in the 1976 election campaign. One of the saddest things I have had to reveal has to do with the 1976 presidential election campaign. Nelson Rockefeller has already selected the man who will be the Democratic nominee to run against him, and it will not be any of those who are now campaigning, nor will it be any candidate in the Democratic primary. The nominee will be a dark horse, a man who recently retired from a very visible and successful political career to devote his efforts to religious activities, such as prayer meetings for prominent politicians. At the 1976 Democratic Convention, his name will suddenly emerge as the man needed to provide America with the moral leadership it so desperately needs. Organized labor, which will have strangely refused to back any candidate up till then, will throw its full support behind him, and he will become the nominee. It will be a thrilling turn of events, and the Democratic Convention will go wild. But the stage will have been set for a truly tragic contest between moral leadership on the part of the Democratic nominee and the mess of pottage held out to a starving America by President Nelson Rockefeller. The President will have made the new Constitution the only issue in his campaign, and the people at large will be voting in a referendum during that election to either accept or reject the Constitution. The new Constitution will have been completed only weeks before the election itself, thanks to unceasing encouragement and prodding of the Constitutional Commission by President Rockefeller. Very few Americans will have had the opportunity to read or study it, and will not realize that it merely duplicates a model Constitution published quietly in 1974 after a multi-million dollar 10-year project funded by the dynasty. But no matter. We will have been hearing all about its progress for a year, and analysis by top news commentators will have assured us of its great merit. Our hearts and our souls may yearn to vote for the Democratic challenger and his moral leadership, but our empty stomachs and our crying, hungry children will convince us that we have no choice. All over America, citizens will walk into voting booths and review the names before us on fixable voting machines put there by the dynasty. Many will linger and wonder, but in the end, voting levers will decisively decree Nelson Rockefeller to be elected and the new Constitution to be accepted, under which President Rockefeller will begin a 9-year term. Someday in 1977, we will all gradually begin to wake up as we see the high-sounding phrases of the new Constitution coming to life as a horrible Frankenstein monster, smashing and destroying our treasured freedoms right and left. As a formerly free people, we will gradually become enraged at what has been done to us, and the dynasty knows it. Therefore, within a year or so after the new Constitution comes into force, that is, by late 1977 or thereabouts, the dynasty's final act of subjugation will begin, World War III. In a sense, it will only be half a world war, since it will not involve Canada or Europe. But it will be a nuclear holocaust, with the United States as the prime battleground, killing over half of our people. An official understanding has already been reached whereby Washington, D.C., alone among major cities in the United States, will be left unscathed by the war. In return, the capitals of Russia, China, and Japan, the new axes of the 70s, will also be spared. America will make no effective retaliation, and the war will drag on for 13 months with pauses for negotiation. Coming events cast their shadow. And on February 12, 1975, Secretary of the Interior, Rogers Morton, said in a Dallas speech that if America were attacked right now, we could not defend ourselves. But still we say it couldn't happen here. After the war, our greatest cities will be gone, but the crude oil and other mineral resources, which have always preoccupied the dynasty, will still be there, accessible and waiting. And now the dynasty will have 100 million or so broken-hearted but hungry slaves to exploit these resources. A dream come true for them, but an unending nightmare for the rest of us. Yes, this is their plan. It is insane. It is inhuman. It is unthinkable to most of us. So was Mein Kampf of Adolf Hitler. But it is their plan. And it is up to us, the American people, to stop it. Talk to your neighbors, your friends, your relatives about these things. That is how public opinion spreads. And only public popular awareness can do the job. To be aware is to be powerful, as the dynasty well knows. That is why they do all in their power to keep you unaware of the truth. If it is God's will, and we all do our part, we can break free of the shackles of the dynasty. If we succeed as a people in doing so, our beloved United States of America can bloom as never before with enthusiasm, initiative, and human dignity. If we do not succeed, it is only those of us who have tried our best who will have peace in our hearts and answers for our enslaved children. Thank you, and God bless each and every one of you.